Morning. Our first passage this morning is from Isaiah 53, verses 6 to 12. So you can find that in your Bibles or it will come up on the screen as well. That's Isaiah chapter 53, starting at verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And now Ryan's going to come and read our second reading for us.
Luke 24:36-49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. And let me add my welcome to those of you here in person and those of you who are watching at home. It's great to have you with us. I'm going to read from Isaiah 53, verse 11, which we're going to focus on today, and then we're going to pray. Isaiah 53, verse 11. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities.
Well, it's great to be here at Stukeley Meadows Primary School for our fifth service together. And over these five services, we have been following through this most amazing of passages called the Servant Song. There's actually four servant songs at the end of this part of Isaiah, and this is the one that we're looking at today. I'm going to ask Nathan to click the button. Well, I grab the clicker, and we're going to put on the screen the servant. Now, someone said that looks a bit like a man putting on his PPE in COVID times, but this is a man putting on an apron, and it's a man who's been predicted 700 years before Jesus, and we're going to learn a bit more about who he is today. Now, this servant song isn't the kind of song that you'll download on Spotify. It's not the kind of song that you'll buy in the charts, because it was written 2,700 years ago. And at times it's a sad song, because it speaks of a man who is suffering unfairly. But it also speaks with notes of joy because of what he achieved for God's people. And if we go to this slide, it's split over five different parts. We've been looking at these five parts over these five services. If you missed any of them, the recordings are all online. Last week, Palm Sunday, we saw that this servant successfully saves his people by suffering. Palm Sunday afternoon, we saw that he was misunderstood and not believed. On Good Friday with Matt, we saw a football illustration, as we saw that Jesus was a substitution. This man who was predicted swapped places with other people to take the punishment in their place. And then Good Friday afternoon, we saw that all this was predicted well before Jesus, and we saw a servant who was willing and innocent to go and die in place of his people. Today we're just going to look at the last three verses, and in particular, verse 11. And it's worked out very nicely for our preaching program, because these final three verses also speak about how this servant, though he dies, will see life afterwards. And we'll see that this is all part of God's plan. So let me read to you verse 11 again. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Now, what's so amazing about these verses speaking about a suffering servant is that they point forward to Jesus dying and rising 700 years later on. This servant very clearly dies. We can see that in these verses. Verse 8, he was cut off from the land of the living. And verse 9, he was assigned a grave with the wicked. But look what happens in this final section. After he suffered, he sees the light of life. There is life for him after his death. And this is speaking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to see from these verses today is that the resurrection tells us that Jesus' suffering on the cross was all part of God's plan. And we see that in two ways. First of all, we see in this verse that God accepts Jesus' work. God accepts Jesus by raising him up from the dead. God was giving a massive, well done, and I accept you to Jesus. So let me read again verse 11. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Many of Jesus' followers were really sad, of course, when they saw Jesus had died. When they visited his tomb, because of course they didn't understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead as well. And many people today think that Christianity is a bit of a failure in some ways, because they look at Jesus and it looks like it ends with a death. But of course it doesn't end with a death. God raised Jesus from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. As we remember today, God accepted Jesus' work on the cross. After he had suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Jesus was satisfied with the work that he had done, and God was satisfied too. Well, I've got here in this box something quite important, and I don't know if the kids from where you're seated can see this. First of all, can anyone tell me what this is on the screen? Anyone know what this is? This is a machine for paying a bill, isn't it? It's basically a very newfangled version of this. This is my cash register. And this cash register is very special, because what you can do is you can make your purchase and you put it on the conveyor belt. And it comes towards you, and then you scan it. There we go. We've scanned our product. I've put it down. I have dropped a Marmite jar before. It's quite a mess, I can tell you. But then there's this great moment of truth. Get your credit card or your debit card, and you wonder, is the payment going to be accepted? I don't know, adults, if you've ever had one of those embarrassing moments when you're in the shop and you pay the bill and it says payment not accepted, and you have to try and rummage around, see if you've got another means of paying. Or as happened to us when we were growing up, one difficult time, we had to put the shopping back on the shelf because we didn't have the money to pay for it. Let's see what happens with my Sainsbury's bank card. Run it through the machine, get the little strip. Payment accepted. Oh, that is a great relief. Let's do that again. It's quite satisfying when it works. The payment has been accepted. Oh, that is great news. I used to work in a supermarket on the cash till, and it was always a great relief when the payment had been accepted. Well, Jesus' resurrection was the proof that Jesus' payment had been accepted, if I can put it like that. It's a bit of a strange analogy. But the resurrection shows us that God accepted Jesus' work. This is such wonderful news, because it means that all that Jesus did on the cross actually did work. We were seeing with Matt on Good Friday that Jesus died as a punishment for our sins. He died in a swap. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus' payment was accepted for our sin. The resurrection means so much. It tells us that Jesus is alive and we can know him today. It tells us that he's the Lord and the King of all the world. It tells us that he will return one day as judge. And it tells us that we too will live after death. And that is because Jesus' payment was accepted. His payment for our sins. This is such good news. This is worth singing about. So we're going to sing a song now before we come to our second point. I'm going to hand over to Linda, and she's going to do some actions for you. I'm going to encourage you to all stand up and join in. You may not be able to sing very loud, but those of you who are at home, we can sing this song and then we can go and tell them that Jesus is alive. Well, I guess you're all wondering what I'm wearing. Does anyone know who wears this kind of outfit? I think I heard it from Chits. A judge, absolutely. I like to think of myself as a judge in some ways. We do have a lawyer in our congregation. I borrowed his very fine robes. He didn't quite have a wig, but thanks to online shopping, I was able to get hold of this one. Well, we need this outfit to understand a little bit what's going on in the second half of the verse. So let me read to you again from Isaiah 53 and verse 11. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. That's what we saw first of all. We've seen that God accepts Jesus' work. Jesus is satisfied and the Father is satisfied and raises Jesus from the dead to show that the payment has been made. But there's some strange wording in the second half of the sentence which we're going to look at now. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, that points forward to Jesus, will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. I don't know if anyone knows what the word justify means. Sometimes you use it on a computer to make sure that your words go to the edge of the page. But actually, it's a legal word. It's a judgment word. It's the kind of word that you might see in court. I don't know if anyone's ever been in court, whether to watch or to be part of the proceedings. It can be quite scary because the people at the front, the judge and the jury, they're going to decide whether you're guilty or not guilty. Now, the trouble with all of us is that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We're all guilty for the ways in which we haven't loved God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But this verse says, by his knowledge, Jesus knew everything that he needed to do, or perhaps by his knowledge, in other words, by knowing him, it's through knowing him, my righteous servant, that's Jesus, he didn't have any sins of his own, will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. Because Jesus took our sin on his own back, in our place, it means that we don't need to be guilty, but if we trust in him, we can be not guilty. The word justify or justified means it's just as if I'd lived Jesus' life. There's a great band which back at home we love to listen to. It's called Awesome Cutlery, featuring two wannabe superheroes called Captain Awesomeness and Cutlery Boy. And one of their great songs is the song Justified. And it says, I'm going to show you some words from their song. Let me just walk these through with you. It talks about what it means to be justified. When I look in the mirror, when I looked in the mirror, do you know what I saw? I saw someone who had broken the law. The song reminds us that we have broken God's Ten Commandments. We haven't lived for him. God's perfection is too high for me, but he made a way for me to be free. Jesus died on the cross. Do you know what he paid? The price I owed for how I'd disobeyed. God's perfect son took on all my sin, and he gave us freedom. I'm safe in him. He came, he lived, he loved, he died. He rose again, and he justified. Justified, it's just as if I'd lived Jesus' life. So that when I'm in court, the judge doesn't look at me for the sins that I have committed. He looks at Jesus, who has paid all my sin and has lived a perfect life. And as we turn to Jesus and hide ourselves in him, we are justified. My life is free from guilt and shame. I've been justified in Jesus' name. Now in the mirror, here's what I see. Jesus' goodness looking right back at me. When I heard how Jesus had died in my place, I had peace with God and joy on my face. Now in the mirror, here's what I see. Jesus' goodness looking right back at me. He came, he lived, he loved, he died. He rose again and he justified. Justified, I'm justified. It's just as if I lived Jesus' life. Isn't it amazing what Jesus has done for us? He has lived a perfect life for us, and he has died a perfect death for us. This means that the resurrection doesn't show that just that Jesus is accepted, but also that we are accepted too, because of what he has done. So I'd like to finish on this Easter day with a question for you. Where do you look to for acceptance? Where do you look to for acceptance? Is it to friends? Maybe in the school playground, you want to be in with the cool gang? Or maybe in the office, you long to fit in? Maybe you're worried because the restrictions are lifting and you wonder whether your friends will still like you. Maybe you're new to church and you want to be accepted by the people around you. Will I fit in? Well, we don't need to look to friends to be accepted. We don't need to look to our abilities. Maybe you're a brilliant football player or you're an excellent computer game player. And so if someone else got better than you at that thing, tennis, football, computer games, you'd be gutted because then perhaps they would be accepted ahead of you. Maybe that's why some people work so hard in the office, because they want to be accepted in their work. Maybe it's actually feelings that you look to for acceptance. When you feel that people accept you, you feel accepted by God. Or when you feel that you've done enough for God by coming to church or by reading the Bible or whatever it is, then God will accept you. But none of these things work for being accepted by God. Friends come and go. Abilities fade with age. Feelings also come and go. Look to Jesus. This amazing servant song, written 700 years before Jesus, points us to the one in which we can be justified, just as if I lived his life, just as if he had lived for me. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. So have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? And are you looking to him for your acceptance? It's not any of these other things, friends, abilities, feelings. It's Jesus Christ who's done everything that we need to be accepted before God on that last day. Look to Jesus. Let's finish with a prayer. Paul says in Romans, in a book which is all about being justified, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Heavenly Father, though these words are long and complicated, they speak of a wonderfully simple truth, that Jesus has taken away all our sins, that he has been accepted, and that in him we too are accepted. We give you thanks for what he did on the cross for our sins. And we thank you that he didn't stay dead, but he rose to new life, bringing hope, bringing confidence of who he is, and bringing the truth that we are justified, just as if we'd lived Jesus' life. We thank you so much for this amazing exchange and this amazing truth that we're hidden in Jesus, accepted in him. We pray that you'd help us to understand these things more and rejoice in them. In Jesus' name, amen.